Hello and welcome to the Afro Creatives Radio. My name is Wadzanai, also known as Black Pearl.
And my name is Mossad Billy.
Thank you so much for joining us for our second episode. If this is your first time, welcome to the Afro Creatives Radio, where we travel through the African continent, through African narratives and African views. And with me in the studio today is Mossad, who had a very interesting conversation with someone from Malawi. Yeah. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, I had a conversation with Menes Laplume. He is the founder and festival director of Tumaini Festival, which is one of the biggest festivals in Malawi. And, you know, we spoke about a lot of things, but the main thing that we spoke about was doing events and, you know, cultural events and, you know, just collaborating online and how we have found ourselves navigating this new normal that that we found ourselves in.
I love how you call it the new normal, because we seem to be having a new normal every other year.
Yes, like every generation has a new normal.
But I think it's a really powerful and interesting conversation to have. Many people are having it all over the world, so it's not completely brand new. Yeah. But I think that I'd love to hear how this fits into the African creative sector. So I'm really keen to hear what you and I'm going to say his name now.
Menes
Laplume talked about.
Sure, let's jump right in.
Let's go.
Hello, and welcome to the Afro Creatives Podcast. This is a podcast which travels through Africa, you know, through using dialogue to interrogate different topics that affect Africa and the world from a cultural perspective, from a creative perspective, and, you know, from all, talking to people from all backgrounds, from different backgrounds, from all walks of life. Today we are joined by an amazing creative, someone who has done slam poetry, a hip-hop artist, a journalist, you know, who's also a director of one of the most, you know, the biggest festivals that I know, Tumaini Festival. Menes Laplume, all the way from Malawi, representing Malawi and DRC, I suppose. Menes, welcome.
Thank you very much, Moses. Thank you for the invite.
Sure. It's good to see you. It's good to have you here. We're honored.
No, thank you very much. I really appreciate that you invited me. This is really an honor.
Yeah, sure. So, Menes, you're a slam poet, you're a hip-hop artist, you are the director of Tumaini Festival. How do you balance all that? Are there any cultural concepts or maybe that you have adopted into how you run the organization to be able to balance all that and still run a festival as big as Tumaini?
Oh, yeah, that's really a good question. and it's also very difficult to answer, but what I would say is that I try to, I believe that as human beings, we have different personas. I try to put them all into use. So when I'm an artist, I change my brain to be more creative. And yes, I let myself sometimes be lazy and dream, you know.
Yeah.
I believe that those are the moments inspiration come when you are alone doing nothing. Kind of idle for yeah. other people, but for us creative, we need those kind of times to get inspired and to come up with something artistic. And I give myself sometimes that kind of phase to be a creative. And as a performer, I take time to rehearse and to work on my craft. And I spend some time with my guitar composing and spend time when I have to go to a studio or anything like that. And I also sometimes focus on using my other side of the other side of my brain, which is more logical and being results oriented and focus on creating projects on running my organization to my Iniletu, and also the festival that we do. It's really a huge project, and it's very ambitious because we wanted to need me to sometimes focus on the logical part of my brain to work hard and to make sure that the festival happens. But to be honest, when you focus on one side, the other side suffers sometimes. So I try to make a balance. Yeah. And for Tumaini Festival, now my team is growing, and the more the team is growing, I'm also going back a little bit to let other people take the responsibilities until a day where I will have a good people in my team will be more trained, they will understand my vision, and they can run it without me policing them. And so that's my plan actually for this year, so that from next year I should focus on my artistic side, because I love being a performer, being a poet, a slam poet or a rapper, because that's an avenue that I use to advocate for causes that I'm passionate about.
Sure. Hey, that's amazing. Oh, and I also know there's this general misconception that people have, that people think African culture is homogeneous. Like they think when they say African culture, they think we're all the same. I know it's not true. Like there are so many cultures, across Africa. And you coming from two, representing two countries. You come from the DRC, and you've experienced that culture, and you live in Malawi. You've experienced the culture there as well. How have these two cultures, embraced technology in your own view?
Thank you very much. First of all, talking about African culture and African culture is very diverse. It's very diverse.
Yes.
And and when I talk about Congolese culture, I cannot pretend to say that I know Congolese culture because Congolese culture is also diverse.
Diverse, yeah.
Imagine that in the DRC, yes, we have 450 tribes speaking 450
wow.
different languages, and each tribe, they have their ways of doing things, and I don't speak the 450 languages, so I'm very behind. So I'll never understand Congolese culture, honestly. And also coming to Malawi, it's above 30 tribes, and I think. And you have all the different things that are happening there. And but me being someone who is interested in the arts and searching and being more learning to understand things. So the two cultures have shaped the person I am now, or the little knowledge of the Congolese culture I have and the Malayan culture that I've added has enriched me in so many ways. And also in my way of understanding the world and understanding the people in the way I converse and approach things. So I have all that background and heritage. About the culture, the African culture embracing technology, it's something that I'll say the new technologies are still more new things to Africa. I think they're still even very new to the world. We are all still learning.
Yeah, we're learning as we go. Yeah.
Yes. And when you look in the African culture and you see that people using technology are mostly the young people. Young people are more into technology and they are doing it well. But the other generations, like people going, let me say, from 45 above, they're a bit left behind in terms of technology. But so it's the new generations that are focusing, you know, understanding the new language, because technology is a whole language that people have to understand. And it's well embraced by young people than the older generations. Yes.
Mm. And as Tumaini, how have you, you know, also jumped onto the ship of, you know, online events or just using technology in general?
No, thank you very much. With Tumaini, talking about technology and that, we've been, first of all, I would have to say that as performers, live performers, or let me talk in terms of a festival. Also, the reason why we do festivals, it's not only because we want to give an opportunity to artists and to people to enjoy the art and things like that. It's because we want to put people together. That's where there is the magic of a festival. That's what makes a festival something special. It's that the love, the joy that is shared by the people in the crowd. That will never be replaced by any sort of technology. The feeling of being among other people,
In sync, togetherness,
enjoying a performance and living a magical moment, that cannot be replaced. But because of the new situations, we have to adapt, for this year, with Tumaini Festival, we are planning an hybrid festival. A festival that owns, because as you know, Tumaini Festival attracts up to 50,000 people.
Or even more.
Being together. And that's so magical. That's what makes it more beautiful. People from all walks of life, from someone who is a farmer in the village, to someone who works in the president's office, or to someone who is the representative of the UN. So like, it takes everyone, international, local, and all age and every cultural backgrounds, and without discrimination. And that cannot be replaced. But we thought of doing a hybrid festival where we'll have it this year in a small format, with the festival will be scattered around the camp, around Zaleka, where we'll have different venues, like 15 venues, and each venue will host a number of shows, and people will have to register online to book a ticket. Ticket will be for free, but first come, first served. So we will make sure that people book for tickets for particular shows. And once people book the tickets online, they will receive their tickets, and then they can use those tickets, electronic tickets, of course, to access the venues. And once we have the shows, we will also, some shows will be going online, so some would be recorded and broadcasted, streamed during the event. So it will be it's a bit difficult, but we are working with experts in technology to advice and to make sure that we have a colorful festival. And this might be there is another one online festival that is happening in Malawi very soon, but it has been pre-recorded. So I think we'll have the first live stream festival in Malawi.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yes, I'm excited.
Yeah, that's exciting. I'll definitely be there.
No, please. As it's an hybrid festival, so you should go. Maybe I should say we will have the first hybrid festival in Malawi. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Yeah.
Amazing stuff. Yeah. And also, I know. The festival happens in a refugee camp, right? And you know, it's actually a source of diversity in terms of cultures, because you have people coming from different, you know, countries and backgrounds, and I know it has impacted a lot on the growth of the festival, and that's an amazing thing. And last year you received an award for the international, you know, it's an international award, I think.
For
refugee advocacy and support.
And
whilst you are receiving
yes.
that award, you mentioned that humanity and solidarity, you know, need. You know, this is a time where we need humanity and solidarity more than ever before. You know, in order for us to cope with this pandemic, how do you think we can boost our efforts to do this?
This pandemic has reminded us that money, status, education and all of that will never save the world. The only thing that can save us is humanity, the togetherness. You see, like when the pandemic came, even the most renowned intelligent people struggles to understand what it was, and it took time to come up with a solution, you know, to come up with ideas. Everyone was trying in different directions, and people had money in their bank accounts. The money became useless. People had flight tickets that became just papers. And people had food that they could not enjoy because everyone felt isolated. Everyone was afraid. Everyone didn't know what was happening, what could happen in the future. And the only thing that has helped us reach where we are now is the love, the friendship, and togetherness. Solidarity that has helped us a lot as humanity. COVID came to remind us that we cannot live without each another, and that's why in that speech I had to remind that, because I felt that it was very important, and it's very special for me that I won such an award during the COVID time and on World Humanitarian Day. And I received an award at the Sharjah International Awards for Refugee Advocacy and Support, which was very big, having a global award. And it's not the first, because in 2019, I received the Social Inclusion Hero for Africa. And that was from the World Bank.
That's another big award.
Yes, of course. So I'm very lucky that the work I've been doing of supporting refugees and advocating for refugees has been recognized by big institutions like the World Bank, institutions like the UN, or even by the Sultan of Sharjah. Through his organization, the Big Heart Foundation. So this is those are magical moments that I always cherish, and they motivate me to keep on doing what I'm doing, because they remind me that I'm on the right path.
That's true. Congratulations, man, and keep doing what you're doing. Amazing stuff.
Thank you very much, brother.
I've been to Tumaini. I've experienced Zaleka. It's an amazing festival, and I think you should keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you very much, brother.
Thank you so much, Ziko Mokwambili. for coming through and just sharing, you know, your story with us and just your thoughts. Thank you so much, Menesla Plum. We hope to see you again soon. I'm sure we, you know, we have a lot of stuff that we can, you know, that we still wanted to talk about, but then because of our time, we will have to stop here for today. But we'll definitely call you again very soon.
Please. Sure. Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Thank you very much for your for your time, and thank you for the opportunity. I really appreciate it.
All right. Take care. Zikomo.
Zikomo kwambiri natokoza.
Sure.
And it's a wrap. What did you think?
Well, I really think it's remarkable how a whole festival moved from being a physical thing onto the digital platform.
Yes.
Right? And I mean, I've experienced so much of it, but hearing someone talk about the experience of actually bringing it to life was pretty cool. I hope that the listeners also got something from it. I'm keen to listen to it again.
Sure. I'm sure everybody would love to listen to it again.
Yeah. So if you want to listen to it again, be sure to listen to it again. And don't forget to invite your friends to like, share, subscribe, comment, interact with us, become a part of the Afro Creators Radio family. And thank you so much for supporting us so far.
Thank you so much. Till next time. Cheers.